Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki. Hello. Good Monday to y'all. It's a new week of swells here on the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Noah, good to see you. I'm so excited to start a new week.
Me too. And I love
4 days.
You're kind of the first person that I'm seeing outside the house today, and I love that.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess it's still kind of early. I mean, I don't, but aren't I always the first person? Or no, I guess you have pretty full days before we record usually.
Yeah, I guess
you're,
usually
you're
getting
you out are.
And about. Yeah.
I picture you are like Belle walking down through the town square with a book, and it's like just going to market. You encounter a lot of different people. Before we podcast usually?
No, just animals, just wild animals outside, like lizards.
Oh my God.
Rabbits.
I love animals so much, and I already miss like seeing chickens everywhere in the Cayman Islands. I'm in LA right now, and have I seen an animal? My friend brought over her dog the other night, and I wasn't in the mood for dogs, so I think she thinks I don't like it, and I like maybe disappointed her in my enthusiasm for the dog. But I don't know, like sometimes I gotta be in a dog mood to like really want a dog, especially a puppy that's jumping everywhere and like biting and has human eyes. Her dog has human eyes and it's beautiful. The dog is so expressive, but it has like these blue human eyes. Andrew says it looks like a White Walker. And the dog got recognized on the street, not recognized, but got kind of like scouted by like a dog agent the other day on the street. Like, so this is a very beautiful dog, but the dog's eyes, I feel like it pierces through my soul. And so I just wasn't having a bond with the dog, and I got in late the other day, and I just, I think she was a little disappointed because people want you to be as excited about their things that they're excited about as you can be. And I try to be authentic and not fake enthusiasm if I don't have it, and not just give people what they want all the time. Not be mean, but like, I don't, you know, and I just wasn't in a dog mood. So I apologized to her the next day, because I was a real cunt the other night. I got into town on Saturday night and I was just in a bad mood. I'd been doing too much thinking on the airplane and listening to songs that make me wallow in my pain. So I'm like, just thinking, and like, I love looking out the window at the lights over Los Angeles when I'm flying in and picking the perfect song, La Cienega Just Smiled by Ryan Adams, and thinking about how I'm just a girl who like is trying, like just, you know, kind of setting the soundtrack for the movie that is my life of this girl flying into LA. And then I start feeling that way. And I was just feeling sorry for myself and being like, why am I not getting what I want from this person? Or just, I don't know. I was just playing a character who was, it's like the Taylor Swift song, Champagne Problems. She has this lyric that's like, you picked the night train for a reason, so you could sit there in this hurt. And I love that song because it's like, I love taking night, it was a night flight, and I love to just sit in my hurt and like just look out the window and listen to music. And I was kind of doing that, but then it got me into a bad headspace. And then my friend comes over to be like, welcome to LA, and brings me all these like things that, like, she brought me weed and lotion and perfume and a dress that I like of hers, and also her dog. And I was just like in a bad mood. So I texted her the next day and I was like, I was a bitch last night. I'm really sorry. And I didn't mean to take it out on you. And now we're good. But it was so hard when you're being a bitch and you know you are, but you just can't muster the courage to say, I'm sorry in the moment, even though you're caught bitch handed. Like, someone calls you out. Like, I yelled at my friend Carlisle about telling me a story that I asked her to tell me. And after she told it to me, I was like, by the way, never bore me with that kind of shit again. Like, it was so rude. And she was like, you asked me to tell you that story. And I was like, oh God, she's right. And I can't admit that she's right now, but she is. And I will tomorrow morning when I feel bad about this. But I don't know what my point was. I fucking saw a dog. I guess that was my point. And Noah, you said that you, before we got started on the show, you were telling me that you got a deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yesterday. I got my birthday present yesterday, which was a spa.
From
my fiancé.
Your fiancé. And so you got a deep tissue massage. Are we talking an hour? We'd go 90 minutes. What were we doing?
It was a 60-minute massage. Felt like, for the first time, felt way longer than that. And yes. I wanted to tell you that it felt so good that I started crying. And when I really thought about it, I have a lot of like pain from like my neck and my back and all that. And
your pussy and your crack.
Yes.
So to finish the legs. Yes.
And I just felt like she acknowledged that pain. It was the first masseuse that actually like acknowledged the pain that I was in and didn't just like rub over it.
And did she acknowledge it verbally or just like
her hands,
by the way she rubbed it?
Yeah, the right amount of pressure, the right touch. She knew exactly where to go.
Oh my God, I'm like getting emotional thinking about how good that feels when someone finds the spot and you know that they find it because they slow down and they're like, they really like help you get through it because it's painful, but it's also like, it feels, whatever they're doing is just, I mean, it's like orgasmic. It's like really the release that a muscle can feel when you feel like it's really being seen.
Yes.
Is better than sex. It's so freaking good. And I love that you felt that way. And what a good massage. I got to go to this,
Allison.
Girl. I mean, as someone who is that in tune, and it feels, did you feel like connected to her afterwards and like, thank you. Like, sometimes I feel like we just had sex kind of with masseuses because, you know, we did. Those are different.
I almost lunged at her at the end when I thanked her. And I was like, there's something divine coming out of your hands. You have no idea what you just did to me.
Wow. Healing. Like that. Some people, I love when you get a masseuse that you're like, oh my God, they're not just going through the motions. They are sensing something and they're finding it. And how did they know? Like, a lot of it is just guesswork, I think. Like, oh, like a lot of times they think it's a knot and they're like rubbing out something that's like a
right
you know, a connective, it's not even a knot. There's a lot of times that people find knots on you and it's like, no, that's just where my muscle is attached to my scapula. Like it needs that little knot there to like attach and you're rubbing it out. Like,
yes.
So a lot of massage can be really a bunch of hooey, but that sounds amazing. Yeah. I love that. I went for a run 2 days ago and I got shin splints. I like activated my shin splints. And I really, really love the feeling because they are so sore. And I just want them to be – I was watching videos last night when I was going to bed of just a thumb going up the side of a shin, like right where mine hurt. And I was like – it's almost porn for massage. I watch massage videos a lot of times for whatever area is really bothering me. And I stole my mom's massage chair thing that I gave to her for Christmas that you put in a chair and you lie back on. It's like a shiatsu thing. I took it with me to California because I just want to lay on it and like just the other night I almost cried from how there's this one knot on my back that is from my Dancing with the Stars injury. And when I'm feeling really nervous and anxious, it starts kicking in because it's very mental. And I just laid on that thing and fucking beat the shit out of it, probably in a masochistic way. Like I love the pain. I love it. I got a foot massage right before I left the Cayman Islands and the girl could not believe, she was laughing the whole time because she couldn't believe the amount of pressure. She was like, if you did this to me, she was doing what she was like, I would cry. She was like, I don't even understand what you're being able to put up with. Like I love pain. It's a weird thing for me. Like I really like the feeling of a dull ache. I love when I'm sore. Andrew pulled a muscle. He like ripped a muscle.
Oh yeah.
And I'm kind of jealous because he has like a muscle that he could like torture. Like I want to so badly like elbow him and I want to massage it. So I want it to like hurt because I'm jealous that he gets to have that like pain that he could just like kind of touch it. And it would be like, ah, ah. Like I like when I have bruises, like I like, and it sounds like I'm probably someone who cuts or something. It's not that I don't like that. I just like a dull pain. It's weird. But like my feet, I just want them to be completely tortured. I want it to feel like, I want a massage to feel like exhausting at the end of it. Not relaxing. Did yours feel exhausting? Was it painful in that way or was it just?
It wasn't painful in that way. I felt just so validated after like over a decade of like being in pain and that pain kind of like being dismissed when I try to address it. And then this woman just came and validated that like 15 years. It was crazy.
Whoa. And that's just so much about in every level, like validating our pain. All we want is for people to say, I know you're in pain and it's not just you're in your head. Like I see you. Like over the weekend, my parents are going to Greece in a couple weeks. And my mom's like, Nikki, can you believe we're going to Greece? We're flying to Greece. And I go, yeah, I think it's great. You're vaccinated. Like the world's opening up. This is a trip that you got offered to stay at an amazing villa by your sister. Like, yes, of course, go. I don't think it's weird. She's like, I go, why would that be weird to go? And my dad goes, well, because she's worried about flying. Because she's constantly in pain. She's always in pain. Her back's constantly hurting her. She has a headache constantly. And I go, Dad, the tone of which you're talking about her pain makes it sound like she's like, does she try to have this pain, you think? And he was like, I mean, well, she can't figure out what it is. And I go, that sounds really bad. Can you imagine having a pain that you want to try to get rid of? Because, you know, Dad, do you think anyone like wants to feel pain? I mean, besides me in a foot massage. But Dad, do you really think Mom wants to feel this pain? He goes, no. And I go, so she's probably trying everything she can within her willpower of like what she can do. She's probably trying everything, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, and she can't get rid of it. That sucks, right? Like, and so you'll acknowledge that this thing she doesn't want, she can't get rid of. So why would we not talk of her pain with anything other than compassion and like, oh, that must be so hard what you're going through. Why would we, what is your tone of like, oh God, it's like, oh, like, Why not just acknowledge that Mom's in pain? I know it's frustrating because you want your wife to feel good and this is all coming from a place of you're sad that your wife is in pain, but you can't express that. Why not just have it be that instead of anger at Mom? People get so mad at people for being sick because they think they're just you could fix it. And it's like, don't you think they want to? Don't you think this person, no one wants to be in pain? And some of you could argue, yeah, people like to be in pain because they want to be the victim. But my mom doesn't want to have migraines constantly and have her bones feel like they're breaking. We're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And I know it's frustrating, Dad, but don't take out that frustration about the fact that mom has a medical condition that is an anomaly and it makes your life a little bit more difficult. Don't take that out on her like she's trying to bring it on. You just got to shake these people sometimes. And it's not because my dad's a cruel guy. It's because he is frustrated because he wants his wife to be mobile and not in pain. And instead of just saying that and being like, this sucks, I'm sad about this, that my wife is in pain, he has to be mean to my mom and act like she's causing it. My mom once got had to get a test to see if she had cancer, and my mom was scared that she wouldn't have cancer because the test was so expensive that my dad would be mad because she didn't even need that test. It was all in her head. Like, she wanted to get, right. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think this is crazy. This is a very common thing that people don't want to go get tested for things because they're scared not only that they might have it, but that worse, they might not have it. And then they spent that $800 for nothing. And now they have to explain it to their husband. And now their husband thinks they're crazy when really they're just trying to figure out what's wrong. No one's trying to be sick. So let's all have compassion for each other. Let's bring Andrew in here right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Nikki.
Welcome to the show. How'd you sleep last night, buddy?
You mean in this Spanish villa in the 1930s?
That yeah.
So much shit. Audrey Hepburn got fingered in the downstairs living room?
Yeah, to set the scene, you guys, I didn't tell them yet, but I rented a huge Hollywood Hills house, like Airbnb, this place. For me and Andrew and my assistant Jen and Noah, you're going to be here in a couple days. My friend Kirsten's coming out. Emil, Joaquim, our friend, is here now. I have I'm just having people come on out. I just decided to make this LA trip not like a hotel stay, but like, let's just bring my friends and stay at the house. So we're at this like house that was built in 1937 in the hills, lower Hollywood Hills. And it's, how would you describe it? It's almost like a hacienda.
It's a compound. It's literally, there's a guest house.
It feels like I could
house.
Start a cult here.
There's a pool. There's like an outdoor sitting area. I feel like, yeah, like where Pablo Escobar probably did coke off a hooker's ass. And like, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like Entourage a little bit. Like they would rent this house. Like you're Vinny. I'll give you that. You know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Vinny. I don't think Vinny would have rented this house. He would rent a nicer place. I mean, it's like, it's nice, but it's expensive. But next time I'll go even further up. This is a little bit bold.
I mean,
I don't feel rich in this house.
How
I don't
can
feel
you
like
not?
A celebrity.
I don't think you ever feel rich.
Yes. I mean, I don't feel like the upper, like, oh my God, like some of the places Amy has rented for us and the girls to stay at because I get this idea from Amy of like, when I'm doing big things, let's get a nice place and have all your friends come in. And you know, I'm not making those bucks yet. I will, but this is pretty fucking nice.
Yes,
I mean,
dude, it's unbelievable. Like guys, if you were here, I swear to God, you'd be losing your shit.
I'm not being ungrateful. I'm just saying it smells a little dingy. It smells like a Michigan cabin. It smells like summer camp. It's very drafty. And
I like that smell. Like of an open fire.
No, it smells like when you're paying $1,000 a night for a house, you don't want it to smell like your friend's cabin where you had a traumatic experience in seventh grade.
You mean your parents' cabin and you're seeing them fight over beer?
Or your parents' cabin and you're trying to change the story really quick so no one can trace it. No, it just smells like, you know, a rental. And I just want to, you know, I don't know. I just got done staying in the Caymans in that fucking suite in that hotel. It's a little bit of a downgrade, but I spent one night in it. The bed is amazing. The sheets are so nice. They didn't skimp on any of like the amenities. I'm very happy. And I get to hang out with you and Emil and Jen until I go to bed. And I don't, it's nice to live in a house. I like living in a house with my friends. I want to, this is like a TikTok house.
Dude, we are our own trap house. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're making content. You're out there filming things by the waterfall. He had an umbrella and the waterfall. And he was doing you were doing? The
umbrella,
Rihanna.
Umbrella, umbrella.
And I go, why wouldn't you do the Friends theme? It's an umbrella and a fountain. Like, duh. And then Emil goes, I've never seen Friends. Because Emil was talking about it. And I go, okay. Well, what year were you born? He said 1998. And I go, that makes sense. You shouldn't have seen Friends. I've never seen, you know, Moving On Up. What was that? Moving On Up. I've never seen the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like generational.
I mean, this house, it's so relaxing. It's a completely different vibe than staying in a hotel. You literally, I wake up in the morning, I make a coffee, I sit outside, I listen to the squirrels eat nuts. I feel very rich. I feel like I'm looking down on
That's
poor
me.
People.
Having oh, is that breakfast bad? Next to you.
Huh?
Squirrels eating nuts. That was me. Sorry, I really liked that protein bar. That Nature Valley granola bar was difficult
Why
to
Why were
consume.
You up in the tree?
Just, that's, I don't have an answer for that. I was really trying to come up with one. Didn't get there.
You're
didn't want to keep trying.
Up there, boy. Yeah, dude, it's freaking, I mean, I do like, people are like, LA's on fire, LA homelessness. And where we are, I mean, yeah, we're privileged. We could literally look down on it and kind of, you know. Also, LA doesn't seem, like people love making places seem shittier than they kind of are.
You haven't been outside. Oh, yeah, I guess you went out yesterday. I just was walking. I just went and did Nick Vile's podcast. It's on Hollywood Boulevard on Vine between Hollywood and Sunset. And I was scared. I got my Starbucks at Hollywood, and then I had to walk down to Sunset, and it was 0.25 miles, but it was crazy how that big of a boulevard is really disturbing now. There's a fucking armed cop outside the Starbucks on Hollywood and Vine. I mean, Hollywood and Vine is like
That's for
in
you.
Songs.
That's for you when you get the wrong
well,
order.
I skipped on the house and I bumped up my security. Yeah, yeah, oh. That's for me. Oh, that's, they've hired, they knew I was coming because of my mobile order, and they're like, bring in the,
I said three pumps, SWAT extra team. Hot. I need sugar a security free. Guard, huh?
Yeah, but I think that LA is kind of weird and not great now.
I don't know. I walked around. I don't really notice it. I think you notice it when you like try to woman. See the negative. What about women? Like,
I mean,
we did. You did shows last night. There were,
oh my God, the best shows
they were
ever.
Great. And around outside, people were happy.
We like, did. I did the first shows stand up I've done since December, November, maybe the first stand up I've done.
How'd that feel?
It was so fun. You were there. It was like in the round. It's outside, but in between two buildings. So it's like, it feels like it's indoor. People are, it was a great crowd, two shows with great comics on the lineup. I mean, it was like, it was an honor to be on these lineups and be like a, one of, I don't know. It's just, it was really cool to be back. I will say that it felt normal right away because I've been able to do these podcasts. Like I just get up there and just talk about whatever I want to and have some jokes that I can tell, but I can just kind of riff now.
You seem very natural up good. There. You seem like you're having fun. More fun so than fun. I think I've ever seen you on stage.
So fun to perform in the round because you could constantly like move around and like look at everyone. I loved it.
I love
the round.
Anthony Jeselnik was on the show. He only stayed looking in,
yeah,
one way.
One direction. He was literally his back turned. I didn't even think about that. Anthony was so funny. I mean, it was great to see other comics and we hung out with Anthony in between shows and you guys really bonded over the fact that you both went to Tulane. The crazy thing is, so Andrew and me and Emil and Anthony are all backstage. And Anthony, if you don't know Anthony Jeselnik, he's like a comedian that does these amazing one-liners, but he's like a kind of a pompous asshole. That's the character he plays. But offstage, he's like really an actually cool, fun person, like sincere, interested. And so we're backstage and, you know, Emil and Andrew only know him from his persona, really. And I'm bringing them back there to be like, let's hang with Anthony. And I don't know if Anthony's in the mood to hang out with my friends, but we got back there. And within like, I would say like 10 minutes in, you go, oh, I went to Tulane. You went to Tulane? And he's like, yeah. And you guys start talking about Tulane experiences. They had so many, like they just had a secret language that me and Emil and this other guy that were back there were just like, all right, like you guys keep going. They were talking about, they all knew a similar lawyer. First of all, you and Anthony, say the similarities.
Okay. One,
he graduated when?
He was a year above me.
Okay.
We both been arrested in New Orleans. He got arrested twice. I got arrested once. We both used the same lawyer, this guy named Freddie King, who everyone at Tulane knows. If you got arrested, you know Freddie King. Freddie King, he one time got off 40 kids at one time. He goes to Anthony. He goes, okay, are you pre-med or pre-law? And Anthony goes, I'm a literature major. He goes, not today. And so Freddie King's dead, RIP Freddie King, because Anthony said he went back to pay finally his bill and Freddie was dead. So,
That's funny.
We both lit our houses on fire.
They both burnt down their
houses.
Like I think Anthony's was a dorm.
No, it was an apartment on the fifth floor. He left like weed burning or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They knocked out a bowl in the wastebasket and started a fire. And then you started a fire at your frat and a cat died.
Yeah, a cat started it. I'm not taking responsibility.
But you left candles lit?
I mean, I put the torch in his hand.
No, what did you really do? No, was it candles?
I left a light, like a really hot construction light on.
God, shit.
And then I went to eat, and the cat, I assume, knocked it over. I'm not blaming him, but I think that's what happened. And then, I had so many papers on the ground because my friends ransacked my room because they're good friends. And
that's when they found hit the bottle?
I mean, thank God that burnt up in there. I used to write poems, and I wrote a poem.
I told Emil last night about this because we were talking about writing songs and poetry and how, like, comedians get a lot of, like, oh, wow, you guys are so honest, but comedians are not vulnerable at all. We maybe say things that are, like, honest, but we always, having a brumch at the end always takes out the sincerity. It's like we're the least sincere. But when you write, like, I'm trying to write a song, and it's just so embarrassing to write poetry or anything sincere. Like, it truly, I admire songwriters for a guy to be like, a manly guy to be like, I love her so much. It's like the most vulnerable thing I've ever heard, to like make a moaning sound with your throat that is like a base, is your interpretation of a poem you wrote. Like, it's all so vulnerable. So Emil and I were talking about, like, if we were to write poetry or lyrics, we would have to like burn them immediately because someone could find them. But then I told him that your roommates found She Hits the Bottle, which is a poem.
So I had mono and I lived in the fraternity house with mono and I was very depressed. My girlfriend really wasn't talking to me. So I decided to, you know, put the paper to pen and I ended up putting She Hits the Bottle. She went full throttle. I'm so sad.
It was about his mom.
My mom was an alcoholic, or I guess still is, but that hasn't drank for 12 years. But boy, was she after it back then.
Yeah.
And I wrote a poem about it. My friends found it.
She hits the bottle and she goes full. It's so sweet. I'm so sorry that you got.
Look, it is what it is. I deserve to be hazed. I should have been kicked out of the fraternity for them finding that. But I do think, like, if you're a listener, I want to hear, send us your poems that you wrote at any point in your life. Oh, we want to hear your poems.
Oh, that'll make us laugh a lot. we loved the things that you guys sent in about
saying words wrong. Luncheon.
You said that someone said that they thought luncheon was spelled like luncheon. I'm going luncheon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
later.
I have some of those saved for our segments. Okay. Don't give it too much away.
I was
going to
say, I know that Andrew can't really comprehend that we have a whole segment.
I'm just like obsessed with the voicemails. I see them checked off before I get them. It's amazing.
I don't even listen because I'm too scared people are going to be mean on them. And they're not going to be mean, but I'm too scared of it. Isn't that so silly? But I will hear the ones when we do listener mail later in the week. So let's get to it. What's the news today, Andrew?
Oh, man, we got some stories.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Oh, man, I hope you guys had a great weekend, had a lot of fun, and all the swells. I'm not just saying that. I mean it from the bottom of my farts. Okay, here we go. First story, a New York City secondary school teacher appeared to suck the nipple of an unidentified topless man while rocking back and forth while teaching a class on Zoom.
What?
Yeah, she was sucking this guy's nipple while teaching.
Did she think her camera was off?
She seemed to, like, apparently she sucked his nipple. She was eating food, and then she, like, shrugged and, like, I sucked his nipple. Like, it wasn't a big deal. She makes $106,000 a year. They're looking into it. They've suspended her.
But, well, yeah. What a secondary school teacher. What does that mean?
It's like what's a secondary school? It's ages 6 through, grades 6 through 12.
Oh,
what's rocking back and forth mean? Like she was on top of him?
No, she was like this.
Oh, gee.
To his nipple.
How long were his nipples?
Yeah. Oh, like she was almost like she was blowing his nipple. Like,
right, yeah, she was like
rocking back and forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, I think she's in some sort of like slave relationship with her guy and he like, I'm serious. I bet they have some weird kink where it's like, you need to suck my nipple at this time and like, and she just thought maybe she could get away with it. I mean, that's insane. Did she literally say, what's the big deal? I'm just sucking.
She shrugged her shoulders and smiled and then went on with the worksheet.
I mean, what the hell?
Part of me would be like, finally, I'm paying attention to Mrs. You know, Delaney or whatever.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like I honestly would
what
be like.
What state is this woman in?
New York City.
Damn. Okay. Well, that's not a good look. And, God, I'd love to hear why her explain that.
I bet she was
that.
Probably still drunk from the night before or something. Maybe they were like fucked up. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
She hasn't answered yet. She hasn't. There's no comment.
There's something fucked up going on. Either she's has some kind of mental condition or she thought her thing was off, her camera was off. And then when she realized it wasn't, she was like, oh my God, I can't acknowledge how fucking crazy that was. I just have to shrug and smile and act like it was nothing. So maybe they think it was nothing.
Oh, wow. You know? Yeah, that's a good defense.
Thank you.
Have you guys had any moments where you saw someone on Zoom doing something where you're like, oh, they probably think their camera's off?
Yes.
Yeah.
I one time realized I wasn't on mute when I went to the bathroom on a meeting, and I
number two.
No, it was peeing, but I realized that it definitely was heard because the person was talking, then all of a sudden they stopped talking when I pulled down my pants. Like you could hear the, you know, or like something happened. And I just left the meeting. I just left. It wasn't a thing where people knew I was who I was on it. You know, it was like an anonymous type of situation, but it was many people on a thing. And you know what? And it was people I knew too, you know, like within these things that I go to. And I didn't care at all. It was such a beautiful moment because I realized, okay, I didn't mean to do that. I'm not a bad person for having to go to the bathroom during an hour and a half meeting. I didn't know my microphone was on. Everyone who's listening to this, it wasn't like I was caught sucking a nipple on camera, which is an inappropriate thing to do in front of children. There's no children on this thing. My camera wasn't on, so no one saw my vagina. And even if they did, I also didn't mean for that. So like, I was able to literally let it go before I flushed the toilet, which was the next day, because I usually like wait to flush the toilet a really long time. But
why do you wait?
I'm kidding. But oh, so a lot of times I do, because it's just like pee, and I'm just like, I'll pee on my pee later.
Like,
it's
that
my
documentary, the real estate guy getting like talking in the mirror, but you were pissing.
What?
Like how he got caught by the like he didn't know his mic was on.
Jinx. Don't spoil the jinx. Yeah, but yes,
we already spoiled it on here. You actually said his last line.
I killed them all in the burping. no, I definitely, but it was, it really was like this moment that I can't even remember, even though it was mortifying, because I was able to let it go immediately. Whenever you get embarrassed, just go, did I mean to do that? No. Okay. Then fucking forgive yourself and just know that maybe people are going to laugh at you, but who cares?
Yeah. Just
say you're not a bad person because you went pee on a Zoom call. Who cares?
Just say like Urkel. Did I do that?
Did I do that?
Did I
I'll have some cheese, please. Did I do that? Let's bring back did I do that.
What? Like,
that's actually a good impression. I think I just did a good Urkel.
Yeah, it was a very good
Urkel. Wait, hold on. I just lost
it's
it.
Also
never mind.
Known as Jahlil White for cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Jahlil White is what
or
they call
Jahlil
it. Jahlil, what they call it Urkel. Cocaine, they call it Urkel because Jahlil White and cocaine's white.
Yeah.
Which is why I was like, why don't they call it Betty for Betty White? And it's closer to white.
It's too on the nose.
Yeah, you got some Betty?
Yeah. Or what was Betty White's character in Golden
we
Girls?
We don't know. I remember we had this conversation. I go, that would be
we
good.
We never looked that up.
If her name was as good as Urkel, we would do that. But yeah.
All right. So next story. Men feel like they've lost a year of connection but aren't rushing to date on the apps or even in person. They're not feeling pressured to settle down.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
You would think maybe without. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my friends. I remember like 5 months after it happened over the last summer, my friends were getting a sense that men wanted to like couple up because they're lonely. We were still kind of in quarantine. And now that it's opening up again, I think men are probably going back to like, I need to fuck a lot. Like, I want to just like get out there. I don't want to settle. I don't want to, because getting in a relationship is like quarantining. You're like, let's like hunker down. And now that the world doesn't require us to do that.
Oh,
monogamy seems.
Yeah, no one was cuddling during the Roaring Twenties. They were getting chlamydia.
I'm so excited about the Roaring Twenties, but I definitely am looking. I'm looking to roar a little bit, but I'm looking to settle down. But I'm so excited about the world opening up again and people being horny for each other's mouths. Oh, I can't wait. 20s.
So the thing about that article, though, is that men were saying that they feel like they've lost connection with their friends and family. So it's like friends and family, then relationships.
Ugh, I'm over it. I don't want any guy who wants to like, I'm so tired of men trying to like be the best brother or friend to their guy friends. You're 40. Your friends have kids and families. Stop trying to like center your life around. They don't care about you as much as you care about them. You should get your own family now. It's like it's become, but that's different though. If you have, I really am obsessed with my friends. Obviously I like fly them out here to hang out with me when I'm doing this job. Like I'm dependent on friends and very codependent on friends, but I acknowledge that that's not going to be, it's not something I can do. I'm doing it in lieu of a relationship. I would give it all up for a relationship. Not all of it. I still would room with you, but you would just be rooming here with my partner. I would bring it all together. I wouldn't sacrifice a relationship because I'm like, I love my friends and my mom so much. Get over yourself. Yeah. Your mom's going to die someday and you're going to be alone.
Yeah, I do think like there's two things. There's one, having friends around. There's another thing of like, let's go to happy hour with the boys and then we're gonna get fucked up and then we're gonna maybe head back home on Sunday. Like,
yeah,
you don't, like, your friendships don't get in the way of your relationships.
Yes, they're incorporated.
That's the difference.
I'm hanging out with this guy when I'm here in LA and I'm dying to bring you in a meal with me because any guy that I'm gonna like is going to have we're all gonna have a great time together. And then once I'm in the mode of like, I want to be alone with this guy, I go, hey, Emil, Andrew, beat it. And then he can put his hand on my leg and then we can move forward. But like when it kicks off, I want to bring my friends into every date. Every first date, I want to bring all my friends. And I honestly might just be honest about that with this guy and be like, I mean, I do feel okay meeting this guy because I've texted with him enough and I did meet him once before. So I might be fine going alone. But in some ways I'm like, Maybe I'll meet him alone and then can my friends join? Because I want my friends to weigh in too.
I went on that day date.
Yeah, you went
with
on that
you.
One date with me.
And remember the homeless guy came up and said that yes. He looked like...
He said he looked like Matthew McConaughey to my date. And then Andrew was just pulled down his mask so that the homeless guy would tell him he looked like Liev Schreiber. He really waited for it, Noah. He was waiting for the homeless guy to go, and wait about and you. And Andrew said he was trying to make eye contact desperately. And then the homeless man left and Andrew admitted it.
I literally held up a sign for him to say it. And he's like, no celebrity here.
That was like me with my sister when I was young. And my people would be like, this girl should be a model. And I'd just be like, waiting for like what they told me. And they would just be like, and you're there.
And you're Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. All right.
Time is a flat circle or something.
You know what I like about them high school girls? You get older, they just... stay the same age. God. Is that it? I don't know.
I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah.
Watch out for the leather hat.
Next story.
He was so hot in that audition. Have you ever seen it?
No.
You will lose your mind.
Really?
He's insanely attractive.
Wait, I pull it up. I want to. I'll look at a YouTube video of Matthew McConaughey's audition for.
He looks so young and spry, and is like he's got these dimples. In his mouth.
He's so fucking confident and cute and like weird and himself. That's the thing. What's more sexy than someone who just is themselves and doesn't give a fuck what you think? Like he embodies that.
Yeah,
and
but that's what you gotta be rich.
And you gotta be hot too. No, it's not even
Untalented.
That. I swear to God.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people that are just themselves and weird and quirky where you're like, oh, that person's just crazy.
Yeah,
because
they're
poor.
Like,
look how hot he is.
I mean,
here.
He is so hot. What the fuck?
I mean,
he looks the same.
Dude.
Yeah, who is that in the shot
that's
with
the
him?
Guy that grabs his nose 18 times and
okay so he's like pretending to drive a car, he's miming it. Oh my god,
I love that he's wearing a Headbangers Ball shirt, an old
what is that?
MTV Headbangers Ball. It's like it was one of the first heavy metal shows on TV.
He literally looks the same as he does now. Oh, his hair is so cute, that little flip at the end. What year is this audition?
Look
oh
at
my
it there.
God
I mean,
he looks exactly like my first kiss. Honestly, he looks.
Really?
Let me show you my first kiss. My friend sent me a picture of him today, actually.
I mean, that is the best looking man, like, on earth.
I'm not kidding you. Like, looks identical to the guy that was my
first
kiss.
How crazy is it, too? Like, some of that was, like, ad-libbed. He's just known for, like, two lines, and it changed his life. Just two sentences.
I know. You read his book, right? And by read his book, I mean, listen to it.
Yeah, every one of his decisions is made by when he comes in his pants at night. He has wet dreams, and then he goes, oh, I should do that. I should take that role. Yeah. He has wet dreams, and it makes him go, oh, that's a good idea for me. If he comes, he realizes, like, that's the right route.
In his sleep.
Yeah,
Do you have wet dreams still?
No, that's why I'm still not doing anything with my life.
Yeah, you can't figure out what to do.
I try to come in my sleep, like Matt.
The other day, I woke up in the morning, and I was so horny coming out of my dream. I wasn't even waking up. It was, like, lucid. It was still dreaming, and I was so horny, and I was like, all I needed was to, do you ever like wake up and you're so thirsty and you're like, you know, there's water on your nightstand, but you're like too tired to like drink it. So you just like you just stay thirsty instead. Cause you're so tired.
I do that with my phone and not charge it. If I have to literally 6 inches.
I did that with horniness. Cause the other day I was like, I just wish in my dream, I convinced myself all my vibrators were broken or too far away. And that I was like crying cause I couldn't get to them, even though I was like, wait, no, you were in a room with so many. That would have been so fun to wake up and do that. But that's why you need a boyfriend.
Maybe you have too many.
I didn't want to plug in things.
Maybe you have too many.
No.
Like
no,
it's like the buffet thing.
No, I could just have used one. I could have just grabbed one off the fucking, I don't even know. I do have to charge them all. I just haven't been that horny recently. It was exciting to like be woken up by it or even to think about
what
it.
What were you dreaming of? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
No, you're going to be dreaming of Matthew McConaughey. Standing against
the
wall.
That is crazy how hot he is in that. It's true. That was good. That was a good poll. What's next?
Database reveals over 200,000 people involved in posting fake reviews for Amazon. So essentially, these people are buying them and then filling out the 5-star and then returning them.
And then returning
them because
it.
The return isn't connected with Amazon, so they don't know.
Yep. This happens all the time. And companies pay
people
to do this.
They're getting like fucked a little bit like that, you know?
What do you mean they're getting fucked?
Like Amazon, like people are like beating the system. Like they'll be fine. Amazon will be okay.
Yeah, Amazon's not getting fucked. It's honestly the consumer that's getting fucked. Amazon doesn't give a fuck what that people are doing this, because it's just giving it. I mean, I'm sure they act like they care, but it's probably not affecting their bottom line much. Yeah, maybe we will maybe buy one less thing on Amazon, because when we read a review, we'll be like, maybe this is fake. So it might affect them, but I don't. I think this is only like Amazon, the consumer loses out here. So I know that though. I never read like verified review. That means nothing to me. Don't trust anything these tech companies tell you. They're all lying.
I scroll until I see like
a bad review.
And then I'm like, okay, that seems a little more.
I don't even like bad reviews, because I know that so many of those are just because that person had an alcoholic father and didn't deal with their anger about
not a one something. Star.
So now they're leaving a bad review on a Yelp thing, or okay, like a four
like a
star,
two or three. That when you find the at like the two or three, that's the review you could trust.
Yeah, yeah.
Not either side of the
right.
You know.
A one. Yeah, when a restaurant's given a one, I'm just like, fuck you. Yeah, that's the I hate. That I used to have a joke about when guys complain about Neil Brennan helped me write it. He goes, when guys complain, wow, God, what was the fucking joke? But it's about those people that go, you know, when guys complain about a woman's pussy being like gross or whatever, that it's like you should be happy you even like got to touch me. And it's like a Yelp review of a restaurant, and it's like, you know, the food was great. The service was amazing. Great ambiance. But like the door was kind of like weird and like hard to like get through. So one star, I'll never eat there again. It should be condemned. And like,
dude, you want to know something weird with my palate? You know how your palate changes as you get older?
Yeah. You got
my
a palate pussy, pussy palate.
My pussy palate is way more advanced, not advanced, but you know,
accepting.
Accepting. And like, just
you're
like,
not as like, that's psychological for sure.
I don't know what it is. I just think I got less, maybe
it's like
less
when kids,
gay
when
I got older.
Like, they don't like onions when they're little, and then they grow into liking onions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With extra
That's
skin.
Very exciting for your...
Oh, dude, I see a beefy puss in like some like...
Oh, so beefy... you're not saying taste though. You're just saying the look of it.
The look of it. I like a... like, I used to think like... you know, I don't know what it is.
Because it's the way that guys talk about pussy. It's like, you think a beefy puss means that she's been around a lot. It's so fucking stupid.
No, I like a strong
puss. I still
puss.
Read jokes from writers that write jokes about someone's pussy like a whore, like a girl that sleeps around has a beat up pussy. And it's like, what? Do you watch porn? Those girls have like the tightest pussies, and they're having more sex than anyone. None of this makes sense. A pussy, you can't tell if it's been around a lot. It's just all what we perceive it as. And now you know...
I mean, it could be dirty if you're not wearing underwear and you're rolling around in mud or something.
You can be dirty and be a virgin and have a really rank ass puss. It has nothing to do with if you get around a lot. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, look.
So I'm glad. I'm so glad to hear that.
I think my dick has gotten smaller every time I have sex. Is that a thing?
I mean,
it's because these pussies
it's like
are
wearing
so
it away. Yeah. It's erosion from like these really rough pussy walls.
That's so funny for a guy to be like, yeah, I got a little dick because I fuck so much.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like, it's scraped off, it's whittled it down.
All right, so why do you care?
Why
about
do I
this?
Care?
Why do I care?
Things got hairy. Well, Luke Bryan saw hair on Katy Perry's legs during American Idol. She just had a baby recently. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to shave her legs. She doesn't have time for it. She said. But he called it out like, hey, man, you got to do something about this leg hair.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, I don't. I want to cuddle with my kid rather than shave my legs.
Okay, great. That's cool.
Do you care?
I think he probably was just saying it jokingly. Like, you're like, there's no doubt that a woman's leg looks better without hair. It's just like, that's why you shave your back when you get, or your chest when you get muscular. Like, your legs look more defined when it's less hair on them. It's and we're conditioned as a culture to like women hairless. And so, yeah, it's going to look better. And he was probably just trying to tease her. She got offended because she probably is a little insecure about that. She's maybe let herself go because she's taking care of a baby, which is a normal thing to happen when you're dealing with a job like American Idol and a baby. You can, so she probably lashed back being like, well, I want to be with my kid more than, and so it became like this issue of like, you're telling me I'm not a good enough woman, which I'm sure triggers. So that's why I care, because I think there's a lot of things going on, but I think it was an innocent comment. And I think that I used to be someone who always like let my hair be long on my legs if I wasn't fucking or like trying to impress a man or be intimate with a man. But now I keep it like that because I just feel sexier and I feel like I feel better. My legs feel better to me, and I feel, and it's for me. And, but so I think they're both right. Who cares?
Yeah.
No, so I don't care actually. It's Monday, so we're doing top one, bottom one.
Dude, bottom is so much harder than top.
Coming up with the worst of something. Dude. So we pick a category. Noah picks a category for us, and then we go around the horn, and we each say the worst of this category and the best of this category for us. So your top one moment and your top and your bottom one. We're going to start with bottom because we always like to end on top. And what's the category, Noah?
The category is concert experiences.
Oh, that's
concert
hard.
Experiences. This is such a great category. Bravo on this one, because at first I go, is this good? And then I go, wait, it's really good. Let's start with bottom. Noah, would you like to kick us off? What is your bottom sure. one concert experience?
Bottom one is 2006 when an amplifier fell on my head at the Knitting Factory.
Oh,
when I went
God.
To see the band Green Carnation, it was their first time in America from Norway. I was very excited. Didn't even get to see them.
Ended up with, fell before the show?
It was while the band was setting up. The tech was setting up their sound, and the PA fell on me because she was doing work behind the stack of amps. So I just ended up in the emergency room with a concussion.
Wait, did they pay for it? Did you?
No.
Like,
not the band.
So
I had a lawsuit.
But the venue.
I had a lawsuit with the venue, but it was nothing because I didn't die.
Oh, so because you didn't, but did they pay for your medical bills?
They paid for some of them, yes.
Right. Oh my God, that sucks so much. Was it, did you see it coming? And
no.
Was it completely out of nowhere?
I was just,
and did it knock you out?
In the grand scheme of things, I consider myself very lucky because
sure.
the way that the amps were positioned, the corner of the PA would have fallen and cracked my head open, but instead she had pushed it around. So the front of it fell on me and my head was able to take the impact.
Oh my God.
It didn't,
who are you
like,
with?
Your head didn't like go into it. Like it didn't like get stuck
you
on
got,
your head.
Were you
did
knocked
it?
Out?
I did see like stars around, but I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. And my friend's like, Noah, I don't think you're fine. I'm like, I really want to see the band though. But I ended
up
like,
yeah, what's more like punk rock than that? Like taking that on the head and then
headbangers
moshing.
Ball. For sure.
Did you mosh? You mosh?
I have, yeah.
Have you moshed?
No, have you? You've mushed.
I mushed.
I see
a lot.
Andrew as a guy who crowd surfs. I've never crowd surfed before because I don't want anyone
Andrew
touching me.
Andrew would probably enjoy crowd surfing. Oh, yeah. You don't like touch unless it's a very emotional touch that releases pain that you've been storing for 15 years. You missed the intro.
And that's where my pain was from, by the way. From that
from
experience.
That?
Yeah.
Dude, you could just... Man, I hope you got a little bit of money from these guys. But, you know, it's... Suing a place for an accident. I feel weird about that because that girl didn't want to drop it on you. It
no.
was an accident. People should be accountable, but it feels bad when you like sue someone for a lot more money than maybe you, or like, you're just like, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know what? I'm going to take this hit literally. But that sounds terrible. And that's a great bottom one. That was an easy one for you to come up with. Jesus. And have you had concussions before?
No, that was the only time I've had a concussion.
And did you take care of it the right way? Like, did you not go to sleep? Did you...
I
was it a verified concussion? Were you, like, throwing up? Like, what was the deal?
I was... Okay, so the doctor from the emergency room I went to kind of, like, dismissed it. And he's like, you're fine. And then I had terrible migraines. I puked. I went to sleep, which I shouldn't have. So it was just a big mess.
Oh, my God. Noah. Yeah,
do you
just
still listen
don't know.
To that band, or do you get PTSD?
You know, I actually stopped listening to them after that.
I bet I would too, actually. Then you can really associate certain stuff like that with and just go, I can't do it now.
Yeah, I got stabbed while watching Pearl Jam. Can't listen to it anymore.
And that's not your bottom story? That's crazy.
Nah, it's not even close to my bottom.
What was your bottom?
Dude, bottom's so hard. I really fucking like, I'm having really a hard
I'll
time.
I'll do mine. My bottom was I was performing at the Caboo Festival down in, I don't know, in Southern California, like 2 hours south of LA. And I was doing this. It's this huge festival that oddly enough kind of started in the Cayman Islands, but they did one in Southern California and I got to perform. It was right when I was doing Dancing with the Stars. I was really stressed out. I was practicing all day. I'd drive down there and do this gig that I had booked long before in this tent. And they're not always ideal to do these music festivals. Had a great set, such a great time talking about Dancing with the Stars on stage, really processing it in a good way. And then I went backstage. I was supposed to go to the Foo Fighters, were also headlining that night, and they're like my favorite band to see live ever. and I was in my trailer at this festival that I'm on the same bill as the Foo Fighters. Like, such a great day. I had a great set. And I see a paparazzi photo from earlier that day at Dancing with the Stars when I had gone to go get coffee. And me and Joe Amabile from Bachelor were at the same coffee place. And they...
I remember this.
I saw paparazzi shooting us. And I was with my friend Carlisle and at this backstage. And I saw the pictures on Daily Mail. I was so excited because I looked great in all of them. But there's one picture where my neck looked crazy. It looked too old. It looked like I had Barbara Corcoran's neck from Shark Tank. Like, I looked like that old.
And
like
neck.
Yeah. And I was just like, I'm going to have to, I literally was, and I was so depressed and sleep deprived and all these things. And
you
I
saw
just,
this while you were watching Foo Fighters?
No, this was like right before we were supposed to walk over to Foo Fighters. I'm in my trailer and I'm sobbing because I'm like, I am so old and ugly. And I was feeling so bad on that show. And I was like, I'm going to, and Carl was like, they can fix that. There are lasers that can fix that. And I was just like, that's not what I want to hear right now. All I want to hear is that I'm crazy. So I texted Anya and Anya was like, that's because you're so skinny right now. Like, your skin does that when you're skinny. This is not you being old. It's you being skinny. Your neck is has a look. I go, I look like Iggy Pop. Like, it's not a good look. And I was crying and I was like, that was the time when I was so depressed. I was like, to Carl, some days I just really think I'm going to have to kill myself someday. And she just goes, me too, but mine's gonna be murder suicide. And I was like, you are not a good friend to have around when I'm feeling this way. And I didn't go to the Foo Fighters concert because I was crying so much about how ugly I felt, and I didn't go. And it was like one of the dumbest things. It's just I feel so far removed from that person who would cry about something like that now that I'm able to talk about it. But it was a really low moment, and I got to miss out on a concert that would have been fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So that was my bottom. What's your bottom?
I mean, I guess seeing Meatloaf twice.
What?
Maybe three times, too.
Wait,
I'm having trouble remembering if I've seen Meatloaf two times or three times. When I was younger, when I was like 12, my dad loved Meatloaf. You know, like two out of three. What's the big one?
I would do anything.
Yeah. And so I liked that album. It was a fun album. But we saw Meatloaf once, and I think it was more like, it was just like we went, and it just... My parents were going through the divorce at the time, and I think my dad was probably trying to like make up for, you know, screaming for 6 years by listening to Bat Out of Hell 2. And, you know, Meatloaf is good, but he's not good enough to solve that, you know? So it was just kind of like we were watching it and we're like, yeah, like Meatloaf, like, but, you know, I kind of hate you right now. And, you know,
yes.
Like, and I don't remember it much. So that's probably why I probably even hated it more, because I can't.
You're like
remember.
Blocking it out because it was so bad.
Yeah. And then an amp fell on me. No, that'd be so funny if every story of a, but yeah, so I think just, but because I, you know, you go, I didn't go to that many concerts. So to have like bottom ones,
oh man,
it's kind of tough.
Another bottom for me is I went to Chris Isaak concert with my parents, and my dad was like new Chris Isaak because his cousin is friends with Chris Isaak.
Cincinnati.
And we got to meet him backstage. Now this was in Riverport in St. Louis, but I had just become anorexic and I was just like starting to be very, very sick looking and worrying everyone who saw me.
Chris Isaak would love that on the beach.
Oh my God. And so I sat through the whole concert. I was starving the whole time and just in a bad mood. Then we had to meet him backstage, and I just looked like, I remember being like a liability and being like, and my parents almost being embarrassed to introduce Chris Isaak to their daughter who looked so, it was just a sad day. I mean, that was definitely the worst. That was worse than even the other one. But let's get to best. Let's
sound
land on
like
high
you're
note.
A food fighter.
Whoa, Andrew.
That's good, dude. Oh my God.
Does it suck when I say it like that? Because like I know it's like good, but also cheesy.
I like it. Someone should have given me a bowl of Dave Grohl. that doesn't really fit. Grohl. I love Food Fighter. That's so funny. I'm going to start calling myself
gruel
that.
Gruel is the funniest word for food by far.
Gruel, yeah, and why would you... That's not a food that you would serve an anorexic girl anyways. It just doesn't work
anyways.
That's
how you keep them anorexic. You
what's
feed
your
them
best,
gruel.
I mean, I eat a lot of gruel. Like, that oatmeal I make looks like gruel.
Yeah,
Noah,
gruel.
What is your best concert experience?
Okay, best concert experience has to be every time I see Iron Maiden, which is a very famous... metal band.
Yes.
But the best time was in 2005 at Ozfest. I got to photograph them, so I got to be like right up front, and usually that ticket is like very, very expensive. So I was like in my 20s and I got that like front, like stage view, and there was no moshing.
Yes.
I was like in the photo pit, so there was no like greasy guy on top of me, And I just got to see that show. It was great.
And were you with a friend?
No, it was just me and my camera.
And do you, I love going to shows by myself. And do you sing along? Do you dance? Like, what's the vibe? Is it just like jumping up and down? Like, just what do you feel when you're at an Iron Maiden show?
Yes, I can definitely sing to Iron Maiden because the singer doesn't growl. He actually sings. So yeah, so I just like, you know, just like sway around and sing.
Photographing a band also is really special. You think that like, I'm not one into photographing like scenery and like views and stuff, but when you have a concert angle and you want to capture that moment, it's a special moment. And I'm very grateful to so many Taylor Swift fans who have caught like front row footage of her that I watch on my Instagram Explore page over and over and over again. And I used to photograph Jeff Tweedy with a really nice camera. I have some shots of Jeff Tweedy that honestly he should use in like his, if there's a book of him someday, like I'm a good photographer.
You are.
I do mean to toot my own horn. It's like, I'm a truly great photographer. I have just like an eye for it. I'm a natural. I'm not as good as people that actually do it for a living, but I'm better than a lot of them, to be honest with you, because I am a natural at street photography and, you know, portrait stuff, but I just don't know all the technical stuff. Anyway, I can't wait to go to a Taylor Swift concert so I can take pictures of her from the angle that I'm at and like remember what it was like. As shitty as it is when people record at concerts, I appreciate it because I watched that footage.
I'd be scared to be in the front row of an Iron Maiden concert.
Why?
Oh.
Just the idea that you couldn't get out or you're going to get pushed against
the
gate.
My mom was at the Who concert where all those people were trampled in the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The one that's like famous. First of all, that doesn't happen that often. The odds of that happening. There's tons of metal shows
every
all the time.
Every Iron Maiden show that happens.
People don't
That's
die.
Why it's Iron fucking Maiden.
But my mom was at that Who concert where I think 7 people got trampled to death in the 70s. It's a famous, I mean, it's the number one story in the, she was at that one. And she almost died, you guys. And that to me was my best concert. I'm just kidding. I almost didn't exist, which is what leads us back to what I said in the trailer behind the Foo Fighters show. No. What is your best one, Andrew?
My best one, I have two best ones.
What's your top concert experience?
I would say I'll just say one real quick. Tom Petty, saw him a month before he died with my brothers. Unbelievable. I've seen him 3 times. But my
Was there a moment from it that you remember and like cherish?
Well, I was going to go like just give that.
Okay, yes, but your best in the moment.
My best one, I showed up to Cash Money Millionaires, which is Juvenile and like all the, and Lil Wayne was part of it.
Yeah.
And it was when they were blowing up with Back That Ass Up, and me and 3 of my whitest friends went to the concert in New Orleans. We didn't have tickets. We show up. They're like, yeah, oh, $40. We got you second row. And we're like, $40 for second row? Oh, DMX was opening for them, RIP. And Eve, remember Eve?
Oh, yeah. She had the paw marks on her.
Oh, my God.
So
hot is the paw mark?
And she would cut it all off. Now she looked like Eve. And she'd be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single white.
Yeah.
Kanye references
out with
her.
Steve. Yeah. Dope.
I always think about her because she had that blonde hair. She almost had like buzzed like Cisco almost.
So we go and the guy goes second row and we keep walking and we're just walking and it's a packed stadium. Like there's no reason why we should have got second row. Like that's why I was like, so next thing you know, they sit us there and we're like, why the fuck are we second row? So this guy comes out. First, Eve comes out and her dancer's tit is out the whole time she's dancing. So that was fucking awesome to just see a tit on stage.
Was it accidental, you think?
I would think so. Yeah. She just was dancing her titty.
Like a Tara Reid moment.
Yeah. Okay. So then DMX comes out in a jail cell.
Whoa.
Floating jail cell. And next thing you know, the bass starts really hitting. And we're right next to the speaker. So the reason why we got these seats is because no one wants them at a rap concert.
Oh my God.
Because your whole body explodes. Like you literally feel like
you definitely got ear damage that night.
Well, they give you we're like, why are we getting earplugs? So boom, DMX comes out in a floating jail cell. I can't even look at him in the eyes. His presence was like, I really can't explain it. He was just like a fucking bat. Like,
oh my God, I love that.
Owned the fucking stage.
You couldn't even look at him because you were like,
I couldn't look at him. I was so intimidated. What? Intimidated.
That's wild.
It was wild.
I don't even understand that.
So then you think like, okay, this is fucking the greatest concert. Because like, whatever, we figured out the bass, whatever. Now, Cash Money Millionaires come out in a floating helicopter over the, it's indoors in a crowd, and they're throwing thousands of dollars in the stands, just all ones. And I got four ones, and I bought two Beam and Cokes with those
ones.
That's awesome.
Should have saved them. You should have saved them. But
so fucking Cash Money gets up there, and dude, they go, all right, next motherfucker. Oh, the great thing too is like they had like a hype man, and he pointed like, look at these white motherfuckers in the front row, and we're like, oh great, like we're just like, oh, don't look at us. So then Cash Money fucking comes up, and they're like, all right, next song, back that ass up. If you think you could back that motherfucking ass up, we want you up
dance
here.
Dance contest.
So next thing I know, I get a tap on my shoulder, and the girl wants to get closer to stage, so she's grinding on my dick like the most like hood rat girl you've ever seen in your life. Like titties okay, out.
And this is great.
Next thing you know, she gets on stage, and she, after grinding on my dick, she gets on stage. She wins the back that ass up concert.
Yes.
I take that $4. I go to a bar, and it was fucking unbelievable.
I mean, that is wild and so fun. And like, I love the part about the DMX being so like just enigmatic and confident.
Well, do you
and
know how he got signed?
No.
One, okay, it's a quick
yeah, tell
story.
Me quick. I'll go through mine really rapid fire.
So I forget the Jewish guy from like Def Jam or whatever was going to listen to other rappers, right? And people have heard of DMX. Like there was like talks mm-hmm. about him in the Bronx or Brooklyn or whatever, wherever he's from. He had his mouth wired shut because he broke his jaw a few days before that.
Kanye again.
Walks in, people like spread for him, and he starts rapping.
Through
and
the
people
wire.
Could hear his jaw break, like the metal breaking. That's how hard he was rapping, and he just rebroke his jaw.
It's like when Forrest Gump runs.
Yeah, that's how it is when he jumps
over
the fence.
And the braces are no. Yeah, when he's a kid and he's being bullied, yeah. And his braces on his legs and they fall apart.
He jumps over a fence when that happens.
Oh, he does.
You don't remember?
I don't remember that part.
But yeah, that's exactly what it reminds me of. Like yeah.
It's like all the infrastructure that's holding this thing is breaking down, and you could hear it, like the pain that he must be going through.
Yeah,
is like
dude.
It was enough. It was worth putting up with to emote what he wanted to do in his his rap. That's so fucking cool. I love that story.
Yeah, badass.
My best concert stories are really like I have like top five, but honestly, the best moment was. I went to go see U2 with one of my good friends, Sean O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a chance from Sirius when I was working for them to go to this, like, to go see U2 live at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, a private show for just Sirius employees. And it was like very, like, it wasn't packed. And I got to go, and I Sean O'Brien is the number one U2 fan I know. And I got to ask him if he wants to go to this private event. It was just such a great gift to give to a friend who you know is like, that'd be like if someone said, do you want to go to a Taylor Swift private event? Which I have been to before, and that's also on my list. So I go, Sean flies in. He can't fucking believe it. He still talks about it to this day of like, I still can't get over it because he was the biggest fan. So we go to the show, and I'm just loving that, seeing my friends so happy. But I will say and I loved it because I knew so many more U2 songs than I knew. Great performance. We were on the floor at the Apollo. U2's, you know, 10 feet from me. And, but he played the song, Stuck in a Moment, and you can't get out of it. But he prefaced it. Anthony Bourdain had just committed suicide, I think, a week prior. And I was fucking torn up by his suicide. I remember where I was. I sobbed. I don't sob when, like, friends die sometimes. Like, it was really weird how much it impacted me. And I hadn't, like, processed it. My mom and sister had been in town. And I, like, went to his restaurant and, like, put flowers and, like, left a note. But I just wasn't, like, actually feeling it. And because I was also dealing with a lot of suicidal ideations at the time, like struggling, or I had in recent memory. And then Bono said this next song, you know, we just lost Anthony Bourdain. We lose so many amazing people to suicide who just, he was like, I lost my best friend of the band. I think it's INXS was the lead singer of the band that was one of Bono's best friends. And he said that he wrote this song about his friend. He was just mad that his friend had committed suicide. And he was just wrote the song about like what his friend was going through, and that this was dedicated to Anthony. And like, he just made a statement about like these people, like if you just wait for the moment to pass. And then when I was going through depression, and then the song played and it was beautiful, I was like crying, and my friend Sean is there, and I'm like having this fucking existential moment listening to the song, having heard the song really for the first time, even though I've known that song forever. I mean, they put it on my iPhone against my will in 2000. Wait, no, that was a different album. But like, I've always known that song, and now it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And when I was going through really bad depression this past summer, I played it all the time, and it really, that his death was not in vain, because it got me out of my suicidal ideation sometimes to be like, this is just a moment. This too shall pass. You're stuck in a moment, and you can't get out of it. You say that later will be better. Now you're stuck. And the whole thing, and this brings us back around to what I was saying in the beginning. That's why I fucking love this podcast. Final thought. That song, I love that song because it is not mad at his friend. It's not, I don't understand why you did this. Woe is me as your friend. It is compassion. It's just like fully understanding what that person's going through. It's not invalidating it. It's saying that you are in this, but it will pass. It's not saying, get over it. Don't be sad. Look at your life is perfect. It's acknowledging you are in pain. I acknowledge your pain, Noah, as your massage therapist, acknowledge your pain. Let's all do better to acknowledge each other's pain, because just because you wouldn't maybe process pain the same way that someone else is going through, like, I used to get mad at Andrew before shows because he would be like, have nervous energy, and I don't like to be nervous, and I'm not nervous. So why are you nervous? It's not a big deal. And I'm the big name on the show. I should be the one nervous. What are you nervous about? They're not even there to see you. I wanted to invalidate his nervousness and his feeling, because it made me feel like I'm not nervous. I'm not treating this with enough respect. So really I was just mad at myself for not caring. Because to me, nervousness is caring, and I'm insecure about not caring enough or being lazy or something. So I used to always do that to you and make you feel bad about it. I'm not saying I won't ever not do that to you, because sometimes your nervous energy is shitting in my bathroom that I don't want to smell your poop or farting on mic. But yeah, it's just, it's nicer if we all just go, when you were biting your hands, I just go, don't bite, you know, instead of being like, what are you doing? What are you nervous about? Yeah. But I still do that to you. It's hard not to. And it's all about just being compassionate of others.
Yeah, no, I think you said it all there.
But that was the best moment. Can I just say a couple more moments? So just rattle them off.
I bet you it's Taylor Swift.
Okay, well, I haven't had my best Taylor Swift moment yet. It's almost like the way I feel about love. Like, my greatest love is waiting for me. My greatest moment has yet to come for a concert moment. It is TBD. It is Taylor Swift. It is the first time she goes back on stage. It is maybe a private concert of sorts. But I don't think I'll be able to really emotionally handle seeing Taylor Swift live with how I haven't seen her live since a rooftop show in 2015.
I mean, you're
in New York. And so that is 6 years ago. I am such a huge fan.
You guys are
going to
align. It's going to happen.
I will cry. It'll be very emotional. But seeing her on the Red Tour was an emotional experience. I already had loved her, but not the way I do now. And then seeing her live on that rooftop was really cool, because we made eye contact beforehand. She goes, it's cold. And she was like, yeah. And that was fun to like have a moment with her, because she like, it was a very private event. It was, you can see me in it. She sings Welcome to New York on a rooftop in New York to debut 1989 in New York. The fucking Empire State Building is like lit up like Taylor Swift colors. It's a beautiful performance. And that was really fun. And then the other one is when I went to Nelly Furtado with my mom and my best girlfriends in 2002. And we were obsessed with her album that had I'm like a bird. But the whole album is fucking amazing and bright and fun and girly. And we memorized it all. And we went to go see her at Mississippi Nights, a small venue. And then my mom came with us. And my mom was like one of the girls that night. And like, I just remember my mom being like, that was the most fun I've ever had at a show. And I was like, this is what I do, Mom. I get obsessed with the band. And then I go wait in line to go see John Mayer, Howie Day, Counting Crows, and then I'm Wilco, Dave Matthews, and then I'm front fucking row, and then I sing and dance the entire time and have, and maybe make eye contact with them, maybe steal John Mayer's water bottle and chug it with my friends, because we convince ourselves we're drinking his backwash, so we might have maybe kissed him. We steal Howie Day's sweat rag. We fucking, I touched Adam Duritz's dreadlocks, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to touch people's hair, but definitely not dreadlocks. Well, he's white, so you can touch
it. Yeah, it's fine.
You're not supposed to touch black women's hair or black men's hair. I think that's the thing that you try to do to respect people. And just hair in general. But I did touch his dreadlocks because I was so close to him at this venue. And that was the best show ever. But he was mad at me for touching his dreadlocks. I could tell he was like not happy with it.
Did you rip one off?
No, I just like, I like to say that I like put my hands through them like a wind chime. Like you would. Like they just kind of like ding, ding, ding. And I remember him looking at me like, too far. Like, I'm giving you my hand, don't touch my hair. And that's when I learned, like, Yeah, these you don't invade someone, these people. Yeah, pri- that was like a total. I was 17. I was just like a girl that was like seriously in love with Adam Duritz and just wanted to like have his DNA. I gotta go.
I just still remember crying at Dave Matthews.
Did you?
And my friend said, "Are you crying?" I go, "My grandpa died." But really, it was just about Dave.
What song was it? Lover Lay Down?
It was obviously freaking...
Back You Up. Back You Up.
No, it wasn't Back You Up because he never plays that a lot. It was it's probably Crash.
Yeah. It's a beautiful song. It's a sweet song. It's a sweet song. I hope. That's what he says about some song on Live at Luther College. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram, DM us, leave us voicemails. You can find that link in our bio and then get tickets to come see me on tour and Andrew. He will be at every date. Besties, this is a show made for besties. Nikki Glaser going on tour, nikkiglaser.com/tour. And thank you so much as always for listening. And this whole week we'll be here with you, with me, Noah, and Andrew. So I can't wait. All live from LA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.